All right. Thank you, worship team. You guys may be seated. They're gonna come back here at the end of service when we receive our we'll share from the communion table. This will be a good time. Well, last Sunday, Pastor Doug spoke. It was great having him in, and I took advantage of the opportunity, and I went over and worked in our children's ministry. Now, right now, we have a little bit of a different summer program, but beginning in September 1st, just a few short weeks away, we have a new program, and we're very excited to announce that we have new children's ministry directors, Jeff and Krista Hudgens. Hooray! They're going to be taking over the responsibility of our children's ministry directors, and I want to just tell you, after having served in children's ministry last week, we need a lot of help. All right? I was very unprepared. Man, I can stand up here and talk to you guys for 40 minutes, no problem, but those kids are awesome, and they have a lot more energy than you people. So, if you have a desire, they're working out a great volunteer schedule so that you don't have to be there every single Sunday, but those who are willing and faithful and able, they're going to set you in and give you a great opportunity to serve our little ones, and we're really excited about that. So make sure that you see Jeff and Krista before they come and seek after you, which they will do. So it'll be great, and we're excited about that. Well, I'm looking forward, like I mentioned, I didn't speak last week. Pastor Doug spoke and talked about the things that are really important in life. Great message. If you didn't see it, always go back on the church Facebook page. You can watch the video of the sermon there. Today, though, I'm going to continue with for the next just a few more weeks in the book of Judges, this series we call Liberty and Justice Through Jesus. And today is probably the most famous story from the book of Judges. I'm pretty sure about this. The most popular, the most well-known story in the book of Judges. So as I read it today, you're going to be, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that. Well, cool, but I still want us to learn some great stuff from it. The title of this morning's message is Liberty and Justice Through Secret Strength. Secret strength. I say secret strength. You probably know the story that we're going to talk about. It's the story of Samson. In particular, the story of Samson and Delilah. We're going to read it here, a pretty big portion of it from Judges chapter 16. If you have a Bible, you can turn there with me. We're going to read verses 4 through 21. If you don't have a Bible and you have your YouVersion Bible app on your phone, you can also look under events and search Living Way Church and download these notes that are up here above me. And if you don't have either a smartphone or a Bible with you, there's a Bible in front of you, and that is yours, and you can take that home with you. We want you to have the Word of God, to be reading it daily, and to know God's promises. Let's read this morning, Judges chapter 16, verses 4 through 21, the story of Samson and Delilah. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Seduce him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies, and how you might be bound, that one could subdue you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I become weak and be like any other man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in ambush in an inner chamber, and she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he snapped the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches the fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And the men lying in ambush were in an inner chamber, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me now how you might be bound." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with the pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into the web, and she made them tight with a pin and said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." Man, it's starting to get old, right? But he awoke from his sleep, pulled away the pin and the loom and the web, and she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me?" Yeah. "You have mocked me these three times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies." Just, again, dude, get out of this relationship, right? She don't love you. All right, so we go on. "And when she pressed him hard with her words, day after day, and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart, and he said to her, 'A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man.' When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up again, for he has told me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' And he awoke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as other times, and I shall shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison." Wow, that is a crazy story, right? Oh, I mean, of course, all of us read it and think, dude, just why do you continue with her? She's obviously not a good lady. I can't give you an answer for that, so I'm not going to preach about the relationship troubles between Samson and Delilah. Instead, I want to talk to you about the secret strength that he possessed. Now, at our last church potluck a couple weeks ago, and by the way, we have another one coming up on the 14th. These church potlucks have been a lot of fun. But I got into a great conversation, I think it was great, with Pastor Doug and with Ivana Tricocci here. And I said, "What do you think Samson looked like? What do you think Samson looked like?" And Ivana told me all about this new movie called Samson. And she said I should watch it, and I didn't. So I apologize. But maybe I will next week. I don't know. She said he looked big, strong, muscular guy with long hair. And I said, "I don't think so. I don't think so. If he was so big and strong and muscular, then why were they so confused about the source of his strength?" Right? You're not with me on that. I mean, obviously, like, if he was big and strong and muscular, then they would be like, he's strong because he's big and strong and muscular. They say, "Where does your strength come from?" And he never once says, "Hello, do you even lift?" Right? He never says, "I'm a CrossFitter." He never says, "I'm all about the ultras." Like, he says some crazy story about binding him with strings. Right? I think that he looked more like a long-haired Mark Zuckerberg than a long-haired The Rock, right? You know the difference between Mark Zuckerberg and The Rock? You got The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You're familiar with him? That's what you think Samson looked like, but with hair? Long hair? Scorpion King? Anybody? That's not what he looked like. If he looked like that, they would know why he's so stinking strong. Instead, I think he looked like this puny, wimpy little computer nerd. Thank you. At least I've convinced one person of this. Well, here's the point. He had secret strength that was mind-boggling. It didn't make any sense. So I want to talk to you this morning about the strength that we possess as believers in Jesus Christ, because it's like the strength of Samson in that it doesn't make sense to the world how we can have strength. Psalm 33 verses 16 and 17 says, "A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue." Our strength does not come from our numbers. Our strength does not come from our physical power. Our strength does not come from our financial wherewithal. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, have a secret strength that I want to encourage you with this morning. First thing I want you to know is that Christian strength starts with confessed weakness. Christian strength starts with confessed weakness. We don't come up and say, look at how strong we are. In fact, that's one of the great accusations, one of the great insults that people will throw on Christians. They'll say, Christians are weak. That's why they need this religion. It's a crutch for their weakness. And we go, Yeah. We are weak. That's where our strength begins. Paul put it this way, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. The Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power, God's holy power, is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. This phrase makes no sense. Not to the world. The world cannot comprehend the meaning, the significance of that sentence. When I am weak, then I am strong. It's confusing to me. What does that mean? How can I be strong when I am weak? When I'm weak, that doesn't make sense. Until we start to begin to realize what all the source of our strength is not from ourselves. This confession of my inability, the confession of my weakness, the confession of my frailty, the confession of my weariness, to say I cannot do it, is the very first foundational declaration and confession of the believer. It all starts, the power of God being received and filling your life, all begins when you say, I forfeit all of my power. It is not about me. I need Him. Desperation, crying out, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The strong person that tries to save themselves will always fail. But the weak person who cries out to Jesus Christ, save me, will never fail. When I am weak, then I am strong. Christian strength starts with our confessed weakness, but Christian strength is sustained by the joy of Jesus Christ. Sustained by the joy of Jesus Christ. I talked about this earlier this year. I really, really like this verse, Nehemiah 8:10. It's one of my favorite verses. Nehemiah said to them, go your way. Actually, it was Ezra said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord, and don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. For the joy set before Him, Jesus Christ endured the shame of the cross. Joy. A few weeks ago, I talked about anger. And I said that anger, nothing in our social media world goes faster and farther than anger. An angry post will go viral faster than any other type of social media post. But you know what? It doesn't last. Those fast and far angry things are quickly forgotten about. That's why one of the current social media jokes is it's always relevant, it's always funny, is what am I supposed to be angry about today, right? What am I angry about? But that joke is always funny because joy lasts longer, humor lasts longer. So while whatever we were supposed to be a bit angry about in 2012 is no longer that relevant. Cat memes stick around because they're funny, right? And cute. And they bring joy, even if you're allergic to cats. That makes sense because it's on the meme. You can't, get the sniffles or anything from them. Joy works longer. It goes deeper. We need joy to sustain this Christian strength. Oh, man, it grieves me terribly when I see people who have lost their joy, who fall away as a result of losing the joy. Every single Sunday as we gather together, we need to be reminded of the joy of the gospel. You have been received by God. He has accepted you. He has welcomed you into a family. I'll tell you, joy seems much more of an ingredient to creating long-term relational success than anger. Right? Even a lack of anger. Consider a marriage that lasts 50 years. I'll tell you, it probably lasts more because of joy than because of a lack of anger. Obviously, anger is not going to keep it together, but anger can drive things apart. But even anger driving things apart can be counteracted with joy. And joy is different than happiness. We know that, right? Happiness is always dependent, or seemingly always dependent, on the situation and the circumstance that we find ourselves in. But joy is a contentment and a satisfaction and a delight regardless of our circumstances. It's a knowledge, it's intertwined with hope, because we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his promises will not fail, and he has guaranteed you eternal delight in his presence. So therefore, I can be joyful even in hard circumstances, even in my persecutions and my afflictions and my difficulties, even when things are not going my way, I still can have joy. And that joy will give me strength and perseverance and endurance. Psalm 21 is a great psalm. And listen to the connection between joy and continuation. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. That's the type of strength that we need, church. Strength in the joy of the Lord. I will not be moved. Steadfast love surrounds me, and I will be in the presence of God forevermore. I need that joy to drive me, to give me strength. So we have this secret strength that starts with our confession of weakness, that is sustained with the joy of Jesus Christ. And finally, I want you to realize that Christian strength is secured by the unbreakable vow keeping of Jesus. Samson lost his strength because he broke his vow. Right? Very simple. All this time they thought it was a matter of ropes and hair braids and all this stuff. No, it wasn't all those things. It was very simple. He had made a vow. He had been covenanted to the Lord, and he violated that vow. He had his head shaved in opposition to the Nazarite vow, and like that, his strength was gone. My feeling is his strength was put back into the normal human body that he possessed, which was probably, not quite as great as mine. And I'm not very physically strong. But all of us, tragically, I'm going to serve you, God, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I make a covenant. I make a vow. And you know what happens? We fail. We sin. We break the vow. We made a covenant. And then we became weak. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. And our strength is gone. But the gospel is different. Because the gospel is not a covenant based on your ability to keep the vow. It's not in how faithful you are. It's in how faithful Jesus is. Jesus, our faithful high priest, as Hebrews says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He's the one that didn't break the vow. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We didn't keep the vow good enough. We can never keep it good enough. But Jesus has kept it perfectly for us. He has kept, fulfilled all righteousness, and he gives to us his strength. He gives to us his promises, his righteousness, his holiness, and we must receive that. We must receive that. So now today you're like, all right, that sounds good. Jesus kept the vow, and he's strong, and he's going to give me joy, and I can confess my weakness, but I still don't feel strong, Pastor. I feel weak today. I feel weak. What do I do? Well, let me give you some real practical things you can do. Two, really simple. This is two things that you need to do if you feel like you have no strength. If you feel like your strength is depleted, you feel exhausted, worn out, tired, weary. You say, I don't know what to do. I'm out of strength. Two things, simple things. First is this, wear God out with your prayers. Now that may sound impossible. It is impossible, but it's what Jesus said. Remember Luke 18, he told the parable of the widow. And he said this widow had an injustice occurred against her, and she went to the judge over and over and over again, and every single day said, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. And the unjust, the wicked judge said, I'm going to give her justice, otherwise she may wear me out. And Jesus told this parable to remind us of how we should pray. It's kind of like Delilah, right? Samson, tell me the source of your strength. Tell me the source of your strength. Tell me the source. You keep lying to me. What is the secret? And it said that she vexed him to death. Is that what I recommend you do to God in prayer? Yeah, go for it. Every single day, wear God out with your prayers. Go for it. If you have an injustice in your life, if you have a hardship in your life, you can't pray enough. You can't ask God enough. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep getting on your knees over and 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 over again. Right? Oh, that's obnoxious. What does the scripture say? You know what's that? 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Over and over and over and over and over again. Keep asking for his strength. Keep asking for his strength. Don't stop. For how long should I do this? Well, that's the second point. So the first point, the first thing, how do I get that strength? Wear God out with your prayer. The second one is this. Wait. That's what God says. Wait. Ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. And while you're asking, just keep waiting. Because of this promise, Isaiah 40:31, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Wear God out with your prayers and wait. And I promise, the Bible promises you will have your strength renewed. This strength is not just, I mean, it's your strength because you receive it, but it's the strength of God. It's a secret strength. It's a strength that goes beyond our imaginations, beyond our understanding. It's a strength that the world cannot comprehend. It's a strength that the world will look at and be flummoxed by. What is the source of your strength? Where does this come from? This doesn't make sense. You're pathetic. You're weak. You're a loser. How can you be strong? How can you have joy? How can you keep going? How can you keep confessing Jesus Christ as your Savior when your whole world has fallen apart and you just whistle your way through the graveyard? Because you know, they put your body in there, your soul sees Jesus face to face. There's nothing greater than the gospel promises. So finally, I wanted you to consider, all right, Here's the secret strength. Here's how you get it. Well, what do you do with it? What do you do with this secret strength? Three short things, and then we're going to receive from the communion table this morning. These are really good things for us. The first thing that we can do with our secret strength provided to us is we can comprehend. What do we mean? Well, the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesian church that they would have strength to comprehend. Here's how he says it in Ephesians 3. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What the Apostle Paul tells us, what the scriptures tell us, is you and I can't, we're not strong enough to grasp how great God's love is. We're not strong enough. We don't have the ability to comprehend it. We don't have the mental ability. We don't have the physical ability. We have no strength to grasp how great his love is because his love is so much greater. But with the strength that God provides us, with the strength that we pray for, we get a deeper, clearer, better picture of his love that we can comprehend more. This is one of the great mysteries of all theology. How can the finite human creation comprehend the infinite, glorious God? Only through the strength that he provides. Only through his grace can we begin to comprehend. And now that we comprehend that love, we get to possess that love. So the second thing we do with his strength is we love. See, this is why a lot of times people put the cart before the horse and they say, all you need to do is love. Just go out there and love people. Just keep love, love, love. That sounds good, but if you don't have an idea of the depth and the breadth and the height and the vastness of the love of God, how can we really truly love? See, we must have a comprehension, a picture of his love, in order that we can then go forward and love. Luke 10:27, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The mission of Living Way Church is to give good news and to be great neighbors. How can we do that? With the love of Jesus Christ. We come together, we pray, we just say, God, give us a glimpse of your love, so that I can go out and give others your love. You need strength to love. You can't, and you, not just any strength, you need the secret strength of God to love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you have tried that without God's strength? Doesn't work, does it? Can't even make it through a day. Oh man, I can't even love those that are closest to me as much as I love myself, but by the strength of Jesus Christ, we can. We can comprehend, we can love, and we can finally serve. Serve. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Why are we crying out for strength? Why are we saying, God, give me strength, give me strength, give me strength? so that we can go out and serve our communities, serve our neighbors, serve our families, serve our spouses, serve our parents, serve our children. Serve. We are strengthened to go out and to be representatives of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to serve, as it says in 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks, speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Serve by the strength that God supplies. It's secret strength. I'll tell you, this church is an incredible example of outsized impact. The fact that we are able, this motley crew, you people, how does God enable you, me, us, to reach the nations, to be influential in changing governmental persecution laws that have existed forever around the world? How can we partner with people? How can you and I help change laws in Myanmar? Where does that come from? It's secret strength. It's spirit-empowered strength. It comes from Jesus Christ, the supernatural workings in the kingdom of God. They're mysterious, church. They're different. But they're certainly powerful.